This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. This is Chris Eliopoulos for Mike Scopa and Michelle Scribner-McLean. This is going to be part two of our discussion about Disney 101, the COVID edition. Back again is my good friend Becky Menken from MEI Mouse Fan Travel. So let's get right back to it. Now moving on to dining. So obviously not all the restaurants are open.
Right. And that changes constantly too.
Again, right.
I get people that ask me, and I'll look one day and I'll be like, oh, nope, it's not open. And the next day it's like, oh, guess what? Just announced that it's going to open up again. So I think that is all in the accommodation of the number of guests that are in the parks, right, and staying at the hotel on when they're going to decide to open or not. But they've done a really good job with not just the restaurants, where they have things like scannable codes so you can see the restaurant menus rather than, you know, walking in and being handed a menu that you have to touch. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like the perfect world for you, isn't it?
I'm in heaven with like the thoughts of all this. No people, everybody stays away from me. Nobody touches anything.
You don't have to touch anything. Yeah. There's all kinds of ways to accommodate you. Yeah. The mobile ordering has been a hit. That's been amazing because you can just mobile order things at any of the quick service locations, and you can do that on your app and through on the phone. And then when you arrive, you can say, I'm here. And then your food shows up because you paid for it on the app. That was even pre-COVID. That was one of the things that I was really enjoying was working with the mobile app. So they have expanded that. I think that they're going to try to figure out more ways of making that more convenient rather than standing in lines.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, other than having a vacation planner, I would assume staying on top of the app and staying on top of the news just to know which restaurants are opening so that you can maybe book. But how long in advance can you book?
Right now, they have limited that to 60 days prior. Okay. So before, that was 180 days, which drove me a little crazy because I didn't know if I wanted pizza 180 days before I was there, or if I wanted Japanese food or what I wanted. So the 60 days in advance makes more sense. That also, again, matches Disneyland's policies too. Mm. But you also have not just the resorts and the parks, but you have Disney Springs that has a huge amount of such yummy restaurants.
Yeah, I know.
I miss so badly. I need homecoming church lady deviled eggs like you do not know. I am so in love with those stupid things.
I know. All this stuff. I mean, that's the thing. Like half your trip should be just about the food. Right? I mean, like there's the parks, but half of it should be really about.
Yeah, because you have to have something to work off, right? So you can bring in all the calories and that way you can run around the parks and feel good about it.
I will tell you, like we've done trips where we'd do a theme of finding the most unique snacks to find. And I would find the list and I would go around and we would go and try them out. Or like I said, we did a trip where it was all about the cheese boards and you just go.
Oh, I remember that.
It's amazing.
The whole cheese board treasure hunt.
It was a fun thing, and we would rate them with each other. It's a fun thing to do if you've gone to Disney a billion times like we have. It's a great way of re-experiencing the parks and the hotels and the downtown Disney area or the Disney Springs area.
I have a good trick for Disney Springs that I like.
What's that?
When you make your dining reservations for many, not all, but many of the Disney Springs locations, you don't have to use the app. You don't have to put in your credit card to hold the reservation. Use OpenTable.
Interesting.
I love OpenTable because you can actually control your reservation a little easier and you're not up for a charge if you cancel 24 hours or within 24 hours.
Interesting.
So that's one of my favorite tips.
That's your free tip of the day, folks.
Exactly. Nice. Save you some money.
All right, so we've done all our planning. We're getting set. It's like the week before our trip. We're going to start getting ourselves packed up. Obviously, you know, as vacationers, we've learned what clothes we need to pack, you know, rain gear and which comfortable shoes to wear and make sure you have a hat. Obviously, we have a new thing, which is masks.
Yep.
So that's part of the deal. Are there masks that Disney does not allow?
Yes, as a matter of fact. And clearly, Disney knows that you may show up with the wrong mask or you may have forgotten your mask. So they've got lots that are available for purchase.
Of course. Hotels. Just like those raincoats and the, you know, the.
Yeah, the ponchos, man. When that, when the rain starts.
Yep.
The umbrellas show up on the counter right next to the register.
They know.
So they do have, and they're honing in on the details, and obviously this is subject to change because, again, everything's changing.
They're figuring out as much as we are.
But they have to be at least two layers. They do not allow you to wear gaiters. So those wonderful things that people are enjoying just putting around their head.
The cowboy mask looking.
Yeah, some people really find them comfortable. I don't see how that is. It feels like it would fall off of me, but... Mm-hmm. And that's the case, is that most of them aren't two layers. It's one layer. And because apparently it can escape. So that bandanas are a big no-no. Mm-hmm. So some states are allowing them, but Disney is not. Okay. And then, of course, I love the fact that they have to tell people this, but costume masks do not.
Oh, right. I can't wear my Spider-Man mask?
No, you can't wear your Spider-Man mask. So
well, they already have a rule. You can't cover your face in totality. I mean, I remember I went and I had it was wintertime and I went with an R2-D2 hoodie. And if you zipped it up, it totally closed and covered your face. And as we were walking in, we were joking about it. And the security guy was like, nope, you really got to unzip. I got to see your face. I was
like screwed up your costume.
I was just being silly. I was being a goofball. And he was just like not having
How would
it.
You recover your costume from that? See, I'm just trying to make you think.
I don't know. I mean, it's not really a costume as much as it was a hoodie. But, you know, he was like, nope, we need to see your face. Which is interesting because now – they're basically saying, we don't want to see your face, which, you know, pretty much everybody says to my face all the time.
Oh,
but I will say, you know, you can, and I've ordered some masks through Disney. I got the Marvel masks. So you can get, they have ones for sale for the Disney store. Is there anything else we need to bring with us in these times?
Yeah. Well, obviously, bring a few face masks, because if you do use cloth masks for your safety, you should wash them every time you use them. So bring a few, hand wash them in the sink and let them dry.
Or toilet, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Oh,
no, that doesn't work. Okay, just checking.
Okay. Wow.
I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, you know.
I just got really distracted there. And the other thing too is a lot of people don't realize that masks are required for anybody age 2 and up. May be a deciding factor for some families. If you have a 2-year-old that is like, I ain't doing this mask, then you're probably not doing the park. So
I was going to say, at 2 years old, sometimes you can't get them to even like eat. Forget about wearing a mask. Like you're going to, so just be careful, parents, you know, when you've got the young ones, they're not going to be too happy with the idea of covering their face for, you know, 9 hours a day.
Well, you know, some adults don't either.
I know. Let's not go down that path because we're trying to keep this upbeat.
Yeah. But I mean, after 6 months, I've started to get used to it. And hey, by the way, they have some cool stuff called fog away for your glasses that works. Oh. I was at the optometrist and I actually got it. And it's a little thing of like eyedroppers that you put on your glasses and you wipe it on and you wait like 2 minutes and then you can put your glasses on and mask on and it doesn't fog up.
What's it called?
It's Fog Away, I think.
Okay.
I'll send you a link.
Yeah, no, that's great. Like again, that's really, a good tip. Well, but think about it. You know, you're down in Florida. It's sunny. You want to wear sunglasses and they do fog up. I love the idea of having something that'll allow you to wear sunglasses.
Fog something. I've got it. I'll
help us out.
But it does work. I bought it and it works.
Okay. So there's another tip. Grab the fog away or fog stopper or.
I forget. Little bottle. I'll give you the link.
Great. Love
it. You can post it.
What else do we need to bring with us?
Well, of course, it's Florida. So you have to prepare for almost everything. So rain and shine. And I used to have a tough time packing for Florida because you felt like you had to have everything. But the biggest point about packing is don't overpack. Don't overthink it. Don't try to, you know, cover all the bases because it's not going to work. And oh, by the way, jeans in Florida in the rain are not a good idea. So if you can just leave your jeans at home, unless, you know, you're going to be there at the end of December or the 1st of January, which sometimes does tend to be a little cold, but it depends on the year, because 1 year I was there, it was 85 degrees and the next it was 32. So
believe me, I know the marathon is like the beginning of January and we've gone from, you know, freezing to the point of snow coming down to 80 something degrees by like 9 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know how people live down there and be, you know, as comfortable. I just don't even get started on the humidity for my hair. That's a whole nother. I need a suitcase just for that.
Right, the hair product?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to throw you a curveball. So I'm going to give you a minute to think about this one because it should probably be for, or maybe it's for next week. I'm gonna warn you ahead of time for the next show. Speaking of clothes, you say underpack. My wife and I, we have a tendency to underpack and then we use the facilities to do our laundry. Are they even open now? Are they available? Because it's an interesting thought that I didn't think about until you just mentioned about underpacking. We used to go to our hotel laundry and we would run it, but it might not be available these days.
Well, it depends on how you use it. For example, the dry cleaning and the valet laundry services are not available right now. However, the self-service laundry is available at the hotels that provide them. So it's not as easy as just saying, hey, here's my bag of clothes. Please, you know, somebody come get it and take care of it. You have to go to the coin operated self-service laundry, but you can use that.
The question is, do they clean them? Like, is there a service done to make sure that these things are, you know, that's the thing, right? Like, that's the worry. Like, as you know, I mean, I know it's, you know, it's particles, it's coming from your mouth, but you never know. I mean, these are the things you have to think about. So that's another thing to think about when you're doing that, if you're going to unpack. All right. Toiletries, or any other toiletries we might need?
Well,
or
I want to go back to, I want to take one step back. Because
bring it on.
Especially newbies.
Yeah.
At first, dude, wicking material is a big deal. Comfortable walking shoes that are already broken in.
Yes.
You do not know how many people we've talked to that are like, and I just got my brand new pair of tennis shoes that I'm going to wear for the first time at Disney. It's like, no.
I actually, we wear running shoes sometimes that we used that are broken in and comfortable because obviously they provide support and they're good for long distances. So that's a good choice.
Yes. And also, when it rains, people tend to, you know, grab those ponchos we were just talking about that show up near the cash registers. But for me personally, I am just not a fan of the poncho. I feel like a baked potato in those things.
Oh, yeah. Especially in the summer heat or, yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're in a greenhouse that is under 105 degree weather or something.
What do you suggest?
While they look great, they're not that comfortable. For me, believe it or not, wicking material that's going to dry fast, like something that's like the runner's material that you guys have, and a ponytail. Those are probably the two best ways of dealing with rain. And an umbrella, a small little pack of umbrella that you put in your bag.
I will say we picked up some like rain hooded rain jackets that were very light.
Really light.
Those were good. And then we wore, I forget what they're called. They're basically like beach shoes. You know, the you wear them to the water parks. They're like sort of like these.
Oh, the water shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we walked around the parks in those. It was great because like you got your feet wet, but they didn't get like, you know, when you have socks and sneakers on, it gets a little, you know, you get blisters and stuff like that. With these, they were great. I think some
and they're
people
great for the pool too. So it's like a good multi-use.
Yeah. Right. So, or sandals or something like that to sort of prevent that kind of stuff.
Well, in the toiletries arena, the resorts do have their, you know, personally branded H2O products. So they've got soaps, lotions, shampoos, conditioners. It's interesting that some of the resorts have gone back to the little individual ones. Cause at first they were starting to get on the environmental kick and got those big, huge bottles posted. Well, you know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, maybe we should do
the refillable bottles.
Now.
Yeah.
let's go ahead and do these big, huge bottles that are stuck to the side of the, I've never been a fan of those because, you know, I don't know why.
Somebody else has used them. And
yeah, I don't know.
And they're refillable and whatever. Look, I'm willing to forego my neuroticism for the sake of the world. So I'll give them that one.
So they do have those things. But if you're like me, I have a special brand of hair product that I have to have with me. So I just bring it anyway. But I also like to tell people to go to your own drugstore, your Walgreens or Bartels or whatever you've got in your area, and go buy things like blister bandages, Tylenol, Advil, the types of things that you would need if you're, you know, basic first aid stuff just to have with you, because you can get them at the hotels, but it's a crazy premium price.
Yeah.
So it's just better just to buy a package and throw that in your bag.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, but everything else is pretty much what you would normally take to the parks. There's no additional things that we have to go, oh my God, I need to wear.
No,
I need to, you know,
I would say just be comfortable, and given the season, given the time, you're probably going to pack and dress differently in July than you will in January. Just don't try to overthink it.
Yep.
If you're planning on doing something fancy, like a staple dinner, a celebration dinner of some sort, then, you know, bring your dress up stuff. But other than that, you really are just going for comfort, and you're on vacation, right?
Yeah, I know. Just go comfortable. That's always my key. All right. So what would you recommend as we get down now? So now it's day of the trip. Any warnings that you give your clients about the airports or your flight? What do you have to prepare for in terms of going?
Yeah. Well, again, we're in a different world than we were a few months ago.
I wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah. It's new and it's different. And the airlines are becoming so much more accommodating. Many of the major airlines that we tend to fly. So Alaska Airlines, Delta, American, and United have just recently dropped all change fees for domestic flights.
Ooh.
So that's a huge boost for us, because a lot of those, the larger airlines like Delta and American, were charging $200 if you had to do a change on your flight.
Wow.
But that's no longer the case. So bravo to them for that.
Good.
And one of the things I always tell people, especially in a world that is changing constantly, and you got to pack your patience when it comes to flights themselves. Because if you book a flight, it's probably going to get changed somewhere along the way. If you're booking it several months out, there's going to be a change in flight. There's going to be a change in schedule. So you need to keep up with that detail. But one of the things that I highly recommend, even if you're one of those people that think you can just show up at the airport and get on the plane, it's not as bad when you arrive anymore, because there's not huge long lines in security, but never assume, check. Mm-hmm. I'm that type of person that I want to arrive 2 hours beforehand regardless. So I'm comfortable and I ease through the airport. The way that you are handled by TSA is a little different now, because you're not handing them things. You're holding something next to you and some of the other, like your ID next to your face. Some airports are starting to test a different technology that is a self-serve check through TSA. So you actually look at your identification to match to your face. And that's something that's being tested in certain airports. But my number one tip is, if you have to do a layover somewhere, try to keep that 2 hour or somewhere between an hour and a half to 2 hours of a layover time. And I know sometimes you pull up those flights, it's like, yeah, it's 40 minutes, I'm fine. If you've never flown and had to change planes in Atlanta, you will know why I'm saying that, because it's inevitable that you're landing in gate A and you're departing from gate T. And it's a 15, 20 minute adventure just to get to the other gate, let alone it was just crazy. So, and different airlines now are making these changes, and you might start out having a nice, wonderful, comfortable hour, between flights, but then all of a sudden somebody's changed a schedule and now you've got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Which we know is not going to happen. So yeah. I recommend, and I know you just want to get to where you're going, but if you have a layover, just go into the airport and pull up a chair and have a beverage and relax and get to your next gate. So
yeah,
you're not frustrated and tense and trying to get.
Yeah. It's going to already be frustrating and
yeah,
scary to begin with, but
exactly.
Pack your bags.
And, oh, sorry. Yeah. One other thing on flights, Delta particularly right now, they have become my favorite because they are also still holding the middle seats where they're not selling them to keep mm-hmm. social distancing. Others are not. Others are doing it on a per flight basis, but Delta is still holding it out. And I think right now it might be till the end of the year.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's the thing. Again, if you're a little germaphobe like me, you might be thinking that thing. We touched on it a bit, but using the app and obviously the way that the hotels are doing pre-check-in, I used to always check in on my app or on my computer. I guess that's the definite way preferred. That they want to do it now, right? They don't want you kind of walking in and having interactions. Just walk in, go up to your room, hit your band and keep going.
Exactly. They really, really, really want you to do that. And as a matter of fact, when you walk into the resorts right now, there's a big sign that talks about checking in via your mobile app.
Okay.
So you don't need to. And it really is a slick thing. Yeah. You get a text when your room is ready. Yep. You can just go to the room. You can use the digital key, or once again, you can use your magic band. But if something goes wrong, if you do need to change rooms, or if your digital key doesn't work for some reason, the front desk staff is still there to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've found it so much better. Like you fly in first thing in the morning and the room is already ready or something like that, or later in the day. It's like miraculously, sometimes we've gone first thing in the morning and they've actually had the room ready. It normally doesn't happen because they'll have the room ready usually by 3 o'clock, but it's been nice to come into the hotel and just go right to, you get that notification up, you're ready to go. You go and you don't have to deal with people. That's like the best thing in the world.
Again, that's your perfect thing.
I know. This one is a standard key. I mean, everybody has to deal with this, but how much money would you allot per day going there these days?
That's probably the toughest question you could possibly ask.
I know. I know, because everybody's different and everybody. It's
different for everybody. Yeah. So I guess the better thing is to think about or to remember what you have to.
What do you have to spend?
Or what is going to be presented in front of you that you cannot say, I can't go home without that.
Right.
And it does kind of swirl around the souvenirs. Are you a t-shirt person? Do you need that Funko Pop that is sitting there staring at you when the little child is going, take me home, which happens to me.
Yeah.
And the food. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
are you going to take Ubers and Lyfts back and forth? What kind of transportation are you going to use? Do you need... Right. Are you going to eat in restaurants, sit down every day, or are you going to do casual services? Which before that was kind of easier to work with because they had the dining plans, but now there's no dining plans.
Right.
So you can't pre-plan those purchases like you did before. So it does become a little bit more daunting to try to figure out, okay, you know, how much am I going to spend? Right. The one thing I will say is, your credit card is your best friend because they're trying to go cashless as much as they possibly can at this point. I know.
Or the magic band, whatever.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Cause the magic band is tied to your credit card. So those are what they're trying to push you towards is not having cash, but get it. Good ideas to, if you need a credit card, get a Disney Visa because then you get a whole bunch of points. That'll help you have cash for your next trip when you go back.
There you go. Smart plane. All right. We're going to wrap it up soon, but I guess I wrote down something, make a schedule, what type of guest you want to be. These days, like I almost feel like it used to be, you have to decide, were you going to be a casual park visitor or were you going to be like commando and go racing through the park? But it almost feels like this is the time where you could be both. You can sort of just go through the park, get through it and not kill yourself.
Yeah, right? I would agree at this point. Obviously, that might change if all of a sudden we have a vaccine and the parks are completely filled again. But right now, you don't really have to. It's more about planning what park you want to be in each day. Mm-hmm. And then sitting down with your family to say, what are the biggest, what's everybody's priority? What's the one or two things you want to do in the park, in this particular park? So you cover mom, dad, and the kids, and at least everybody can do the one or two or possibly three things that they want to individually do as part of their visit to the park. Right. Where before, when you had to pick the fast passes and you had to stand in 90-minute lines, that definitely becomes more of a schedule and how you're going to do it. But that's, again, one of the beautiful things about going now is you do get to casually walk in. You get to discover again. You get to discover the park and its details without rushing to the next queue.
One little extra tidbit, it was just a question on the end, was I remember Newell used to send down like cases of water down to his hotel ahead of time. Can you ship any items down, or are they not allowing that at this point?
Well, they know that a lot of people started doing that because Amazon was so easy to do a whole bunch of picks from and shipping it down. So they started to get a little inundated with packages. They are still allowing it, but you have to follow a lot of rules and recommendations to make sure that it gets to you and to the right hotel. Right. But more than that, they're now charging you to accept them. There's a $6 per package handling fee that will apply to all packages that are received through the front desk. So it may not be, if you want to send four or five things, that may not be the best way to go about it. It might be because there are places that are off property that you can go get your case of water. You might grab a lift and go over, grab a case of water and come back. There are also some grocery delivery services that do deliver to some of the hotels. So that's an option too.
And we're going to cover that probably next week. Okay. But I will say one last thing. For those of us who aren't going down to the parks, Becky, I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told anybody yet. I have an Xbox, and recently I discovered that there is a Disneyland game, and it was super cheap on sale. It was on sale for $7.99. And while it's a very childish game, like you, when you go on the, like you basically get to walk through the parks, but they did a fascinating job of people talking as you're walking by. The music is playing in each individual land. You hear people saying, "Oh, I want to get a cheeseburger. Let's go over there." And you hear things and you feel really immersed, like you're at the parks. I don't know if it's on PlayStation. I don't know if it's on like other like computer systems, but when I was feeling that urge, I've been going on to this, and I don't even go play the, like, cause they're like mini games when you go into the different attractions. I just walk through the park. Again, it's Disneyland, not Disney World, but I've scratched an itch cause it looks like the park. They did a really nice job making it look like the actual park. So if you're jonesing to go and you need that fix but you can't go, I do totally recommend the Disneyland app or game for Xbox, and if it's on any other system. I know Becky's probably looking up right now. She's probably texting her husband, "Get me that game now!"
Again, I have been sitting in this chair since March 6th. So in 3 days, I would have been sitting here for 6 months. And for someone like me, has had the blessings to be able to visit Disney and to travel around the world as much as I have been able to do, this is hell on wheels.
Say you've probably been at the parks more than you were home last year.
Yeah.
That's how much you've been down at the parks.
And so, I miss it. I miss the sounds. I miss the smells. I miss the people. I miss the crazy. I miss the fireworks. I miss it all. And I can't wait to go back.
I know. So this might, if you're interested, I don't know what game systems you have at home and if they're available, but like I said, it was on sale for like $7.99. You couldn't pass it up. I felt it was great. I mean, and then you get to walk around, you get to interact with the characters, like the Fab Five are there and you get to interact with them. And there's other characters that you can interact with. I had a blast with it. So if you can't do these trips and these planning thoughts aren't for you right now, maybe take a quick trip down to Disneyland via your gaming system. So, but Becky, thank you so much for doing this with me today. I know this is like, you've been doing this crazy, and it's been crazy time. So I really appreciate you taking the time to.
It hasn't been boring. I can definitely tell you that.
No, it's fun. We love talking about it.
And, absolutely. You know. And well, thank you for having me again. I really appreciate coming on and being able to talk to you and see your happy, sunshiny face.
Oh, me? I don't know. Yes. If I'm sunshiny, but I'm definitely here. But I will say, I want to thank you, and I want to thank the listener out there. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know we're sort of just getting back on our feet, and Mike and Michelle have been MIA, but I hope the understudies have helped you. And if you are truly planning a trip, this is not a plug beyond, like, she's not paying me to say this. This is actually like a true account. I've always appreciated Becky and her team helping me plan my Disney trip. So if you are planning another trip, you can do so much worse than going to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. So Becky, thanks again for having taking the time to come on and talk to us about this stuff. I hope you'll come back next week and we'll talk about what to do once you're at the parks.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
I know. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that next week. So on behalf of Mike Scopa, Michelle Scrover-McLean, and Becky Mencken, I'm Chris Liopoulos. See you on the road.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.